course, when you're gone, the big song, I Don't Want to Be Lonely. Hey, we're going to be joining the wonderful Dr. Navishi in a minute or two, live from Japan. So, and of course, we have the big topic this evening. I'm just going to cue you up just before she steps in the house. Big topic this evening. Hey, you're an adult. You have done the divorce thing. The kids have gone. They're grown. They have their own family. But now, you know, you've gotten bitten by the love bug again. Somebody, some special somebody came in across the wave. And you are in love. The grown kids are sitting you down and really talking down to you and giving you the nine. Hey, is that their prerogative? We want to hear from you. We really want to hear from you this evening. I mean, this is one of the shows that you must call in. Trust me, you must call in. Let us know what you think, what you think. Going to play a little tune for you in a little bit once we can get our connection here going. And this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. I want to say big love to guest 1257-1274, guest 2002. Madhu, I know that you're going to be on early this evening, and I really, really, really would like all that you can say and bring to the table. Ayanaway, of course. I mean, I hope that you'll join us as well. We're going to be playing music while we try and get our links all set up here. But in the meantime, think about that. Think about that, okay? Think about that.
Can I be the one to hold your hand? Take you across the sea? Let me know, please. Cause I wanna be the one that you be feeling.
There's no denying how you make me feel, how wanting you fills my mind. I wanna hold you just like the hands of time. Oh,
love ain't out there for you. All it takes is time. Let me
Yes, Dr. Nivesha. No, I mean, why is it such a wonderful smile? I'm not sure that smile is like smiling with me. You're happy. You're happy as a, I'm not sure.
Dr. Ev, it's always so good to be happy when I connect with you on this show. So, yes, it is about happiness.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm not going to even dwell on that because that is going to make me fall off my chair here. Welcome, Dr. Nivesha. How is it there in Japan this morning?
Welcome. Thank you so much. It's fabulous here. It's a bright and sunny day on Sunday morning here in Okinawa. The sun is shining and the clouds are happy. The water is glistening and there are people out playing lots of sports on the ocean. It's just a fantabulous day. I couldn't ask for anything better.
Ooh, that sounds like living and life.
Indeed.
Well, talking about living in life, I know your subject this evening is something that I've been kind of mowing over, tilling the soil over, kind of getting my head wrapped around. And this is adults, you know, getting divorced, being single parents. You have adult children. And they, you know, basically, they want to ruin it for you. You're not able to have a lover, or they're not approving of your love. Is this like meddling in parents' business, or this is a legitimate concern for adult children? In some cases, preventing their parents from getting involved with somebody else. So, you know, I'm kind of my eyes and my ears are kind of bulging. But glad to hear about this one this evening. And of course, welcome to our other guest host, Madhu. I am making sure that you're on Madhu and Iwanewe. Please press 1 on your telephone keypad when you'd like us to, you know, really get you involved in the conversation here. So, Doc, talk to me.
Well, I'd like to recap, Dr. Ev, what we've talked about for the entire month of July. We've looked at single parents and dating, whether or not dating works or how it works for the single parent. We've looked at a number of avenues as it relates to that, what the particulars are and what some of the challenges may be for the single parent who's contemplating dating, what some of the nuances are to that process. And it's really been a wonderful opportunity to converse with you and to share with Madhu and Iyanawe. And then last week, we had Dr. Gregory Johnson, who shared from his personal journey about being a single parent and dating. And then he also gave us some information about his divorce and what that process was for him and the mother of his child and some of the processes that led to him in his single parent dating experience. And so today we thought we'd take a look at that some more and sum up the program, since this is the last week that we'll take a look at this subject, and introduce some of the aspects of how sex plays a role with dating and the single parent, whether intercourse or those levels of physical intimacy are expressed in this process, and if it is, how one can navigate those pieces of the puzzle. So what area would you like to start with? I know, Dr. Evan, when we talk about sex, you get kind of excited.
Kind of excited. I'm not sure that is kind of.
Okay, so it makes you excited, huh? Okay.
I'm excited. I mean, I know the doc spoke very eloquently last week, and I'm really, really happy we got a male perspective of this and somebody who really experienced all of this. When you are sure that this is the person you want to be with, how do you introduce them to the kids, and at what point you kind of, which I don't think is their prerogative, at what point you start sleeping over? Because trust me, they know what goes on when the doors are closed. They know that you ain't sleep. Even if you go upstairs and they are downstairs, they can figure out in the nighttime while they're sleeping, somebody is going to be meeting partway up the stairs. That was the thing that we were contemplating. How do we really handle this?
Excellent, Dr. Evan. And so, go ahead, Madhu.
No. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay. And so that's a really excellent question, and that's something to take a look at. What do we do as adults who are dating? One of the things you said on, I think, a number of these shows this month, Dr. Ev, is that we're humans and we have needs. And regardless of whether or not we're in a marriage, we experience the sexual needs that we have that we desire to be fulfilled. And at what stage of the relationship, while dating as a single parent, are you desirous of getting that need met by your partner? And if you have made a decision to become sexually involved with the person you're dating as a single parent, then how does this affect your children? And how much of this, as you said, Dr. Ev, they're already aware, but how much do you converse with, or do you, with your children about this intimate stage of your relationship? And I'd like to start by saying our society tends to be very protective and secretive when it comes to having conversations about sex and sexuality. That's not necessarily something that we discuss in general. So it's easy to talk about, say this month, we've talked about many aspects of dating as a single parent, but we haven't really touched on sex, and it's very normal for us in our society to think that just sex and sexuality in itself is a taboo subject. So when we look at it within the confines of dating as a single parent, it's not necessarily a conversation we will have. And you said something, Dr. Ev, about whether or not it's the children's business. Mm-hmm. And that tends to be some of the stances that we take, that there are certain things that are adult conversation, and there are other things that are conversations that the children need not to be aware of. And that's definitely one stance that we can take, that the area of sex and sexuality or who I'm dating or how intimate the relationship is as a single parent is to be held between me and the person that I'm dating, and the children need not have any awareness of these, or that I can choose to share some information with the children if they're at a certain age of understanding and level of maturity. So the choice really, really lends from a number of different angles. The first one may be, what kind of relationship do you have with your children? And do you generally speak with your children about sex and sexuality? Or it could be the case that a conversation about the person that you're dating and them sleeping over becomes a reality. And what does a sleepover look like? Is this person and you sleeping in the same room, in the same bed? Or are you giving them a room in the house, whether it be a guest room or a space that's provided for them to stay? And is this person staying over once or twice a week or on a more frequent basis? So there are a number of intricacies that come into play, Dr. Ev, when we look at the possibilities of introducing, which I believe is another level of the single parent dating experience, to the children that are involved in the process.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Madhu, your line is open, or Iwanawe, I'm not sure which of you are on that line. So jump in.
Hello.
You see. Go ahead. Good evening and welcome in.
Hey, good evening to both of you, Dr. Vishi and Dr. Ev, and the other listeners. Yeah, I forgot to mention that one of my sisters was also listening last week. I don't know what radio name she wants to use, so I'll have to wait until she lets me know. But she may also be listening and participating this week also.
Welcome to Madhu's sister.
Okay. But I thought about something after last week's discussion. It was also on what we were talking about this evening. There is also something I call a near sleepover. And I'll explain. Well, see, parents have gotten, a little creative, I think. And in order to avoid being accused of having an outright sleepover,
mm-hmm.
they can say you have a child and you give this child a bowl of popcorn and they're all sitting down watching maybe a movie. And then this parent and the friend disappears and leaves the child watching the movie. And, and then they may reappear at some point. And I don't, technically you may not call it a sleepover, but that's what I call a near sleepover. And I think that can also be confusing to the child, because I think that when the child sees this one parent gone for whatever reason and some other person comes in, from a child's perspective, they're looking at this large-sized human being, that's much larger, than they are if they're a small child. And they may feel that this person is replacing them as far as importance. And I think the reason for discussing with the child, you may not discuss, your personal details, but I think you want to assure that child that they're not being replaced. And you have to get them to the point where they feel comfortable, that they don't feel like you are taking another person and replacing them. And I think the parent also has to be careful not to ignore that child when that other person is present.
Mm-hmm.
And because that child may act a little bit more demanding to test the parent to see if they are really being pushed aside. And I think that the parent has to, and both people should work until that child feels very comfortable that they are not being replaced and pushed aside. And I think that would have a lot to do with having much more harmony into the adult relationships.
Dr. Navishi?
That's a great point, Madhu. That's a great point. I think sometimes it's important to consider the idea that if as adults we're deciding to engage in intimacy with someone who may not be the parent of our children. So as a single parent, I've invited my partner over to the house and we've decided that we set our relationship up to sexual intimacy. There's a time and place that should be done, especially if you have young children. So the example you just gave, Madhu, where everyone is sitting around watching movies with a bowl of popcorn, that may not be the most appropriate time to leave the setting of everyone to engage in physical intimacy. Might be more appropriate, however, to wait until the children are asleep or to wait for a weekend where the children are not at home to have that be your reality. One of the things we haven't talked about, though, are those couples who've decided that physical intimacy is not going to be a part of their dating experience and what that might look like. Because I know one of the things that Dr. Johnson brought up last week was looking at the impact maybe of a spiritual influence and what those decisions may be. So if you have a couple that is from a household or has a highly spiritual upbringing or has spiritual beliefs that do not embrace the idea of having sexual intimacy prior to a marital experience, then that's also another area to consider and another example that the single parent that's dating is giving to their children who are a part of their household. So the examples are given in both areas, and how it's done will be very important. A lot of times I don't think we consider the idea of communicating with our children as much because of a number of reasons. We don't think it's their business, or that's not necessarily how the culture of our relationship is. However, I think it's something to consider in looking at how communication works and what do we communicate versus what we do not and why. Why do we choose to communicate some things and not others?
I can think of something that happened when I went out of town. Well, Inyongwe and I went out of town to visit her brother and his family. And we stayed, you know, I guess several, at least 2 days maybe. And they had, let's see, three children, all boys. And they were young. Well, there was, you know, different ages. But the youngest, we were in one room, Inyongwe and I, in the morning. And the youngest was very outgoing, and I can't remember his age, but he was fairly young. And so he came to the room, and he wanted to talk. So we hadn't gotten up yet. So he kind of got annoying, and we dismissed him and told him to close the door when he left. And he said, well, why do you want me to close the door? What do you have, private property to do? And I didn't have anything I could throw at him right then, but, you know, they have a mind of their own, and I didn't go any further explaining to him anything because he was kind of irritating, you know, as a little child. And but little children, they do, you know, create pictures and things in their minds. And, you know, if you're a parent and you have to be around them, whatever picture you think you're painting may not be the picture in their head.
Mm-hmm.
So when they start asking questions, you have to come up with some type of answers. And it can be kind of rough sometimes because sometimes you may feel like, well, I don't need to answer every one of your questions.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Iyanawe, I am open to your mic. When you want to drop in, you can do as well.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and good afternoon.
Hey, welcome, Iyanawe.
Thanks. So that's along the same line of thought that I was having is that, and in fact, that's what I ended with the question last week, is do you ignore that? Because I know earlier, when we were talking about tonight, I think Dr. Navici said that you don't have to let the kids know, talk to them about your, you know, sexual life or anything. But at the same time, they do have thoughts and they, you know, of sex and even if you're not behind closed doors, I think like the older ones,
mm-hmm.
they think about who people may have sex. So do you let your child just think these thoughts on their own, and not, how do you address
Because I think also you're just talking about it, just seeing folks sitting beside each other kind of give the kids are thinking a lot of things. Right. Just seeing the folks kind of, you know, maybe hold hand or maybe smile at each other, talking to
right.
each other, not talking to them. That is also a big problem for some of those kids.
Absolutely. And my thought is, instead of waiting until these questions are formulated and you have a number of wonderments that are going unaddressed, how amazing would it be to have a sit down with the child and talk about general conversations, not anything specific about what you may be doing, but to open the dialogue so the children may feel free to ask whatever questions they might have. How you choose to respond to the question will take some delicate responses. However, I think a lot of times it's unfortunate that we don't have the dialogue. And so because we don't have the dialogue, there are lots of wonderments that become the reality for the children that remain unanswered. Having an open atmosphere, creating an environment in the household where your children will feel free to approach you with questions they may have and know that it's safe to go to mom or it's safe to go to dad and say, hey, I see so-and-so coming over and then they're still here. And when I wake up in the morning, I see them here still, what's going on? Or just to question, because so-and-so comes over, does that mean that you and mom or dad will never get back together? And I wonder what that's about. It's so important, especially in a situation where children have lost a parent for whatever reason, to build a sense of security and to create an environment where they feel safe to ask and share whatever it may be that's on their mind or in their thoughts, in their heart. And I think it's our responsibility, if we are the single parent that's dating, to create that environment for our children and hope that they will feel secure in knowing that there are no questions that cannot be asked, regardless of how we choose to respond to those questions.
That is
yeah, and
like that.
Right. Also, Dr. Navishi, I was thinking that when it's left up to a child to figure out these complicated issues, I think it's real dangerous because I can think back when I was a child, some of the horrible stuff that I heard, not from my parents, because my parents gave me no information. And especially young men, I don't know what they are told now, but I don't think it's much different. But it was a bunch of horrible garbage about women and girls. And when you leave children to get their information, you know, piecemeal, twisted from any source, it's dangerous. But it just so happened, you know, I had sense enough even as a child to realize that some of the stuff that I was being told and hearing just sounded crazy till I rejected a lot of it. But I would say overall, it's not rejected by many young men that hear things that are not true. I mean, you just wouldn't believe some of the stuff that young men are actually told, even by older men that don't understand things or didn't understand things. And when you leave that fertile mind to people that feed young people misinformation, they don't repeat it because some things I just didn't repeat. And if parents didn't talk to me about these issues, I definitely, you know, didn't bring them up to my parents, because if they made me feel like these were unspeakable issues, topics, then you didn't speak about them. And you spoke with them about people in your peer group, and they had misinformation also.
Go ahead, Iyanaway. Totally right.
No, I'm just totally in agreement with him in that, you know, we just did not, we weren't given information, like you said. I wasn't given information from my parents, and you know, a lot of maybe my friends, we would get junk from each of the pieces of whatever, and somehow, I guess we learn an amount of sex information about sex that got us through, and you know, so I mean that's where.
If we don't have information, if information is not shared with children directly, then we create ideas or we create our realities based on bits and pieces that we've heard from different places, whether it's something we've seen on the television or something that we've heard from our friends or just things we've created on our own simply because we do not have ideas that were formulated for us from the people that we know and trust, from mom and dad. So I agree with both of you, Iyanwe and Madhu, that it's our responsibility as parents, and especially if we're talking about single parents who are raising children and who are involved in a dating experience, our responsibility to take the initiative and speak with our children about the intricacies of what this may look like and how it works. And before we take that step with our dating partner to have that conversation, whether we'll have that conversation with our children alone or if they've developed a relationship with the dating partner, to sit down together as a family or as the people who are involved in the new relationship to have that conversation. Absolutely.
You know, one of the most ridiculous things I ever heard, even as an adult, when I was young, young adult, I had a grown man. I had a conversation with a grown man. This man was probably twice my age. I was probably at least 21, 22. This man was trying to explain to me why a woman would have twins. This man was at least 50 years old. Now, this is his explanation. He said a woman has two, not vaginas. He called them, you know, he spelled it with a B, vaginas. And he said they were lined up one behind the other, and you have a baby born in one and then another one in the other vagina, what he called vagina. And I'm sitting up there listening like, you know, you would think that, don't think that because someone is an adult that they get it figured out. Because you had a United States Senator here recently explaining that if a woman is raped, that the body shuts down certain functions. And this man looked like he was at least 70 years old and in the United States Senate. And I think that's incredible to reach that level and be that ignorant.
That speaks specifically, Madhu, to the importance of us breaking some of the unhealthy patterns and cycles by communicating. I think sometimes it may be challenging for us to have conversations with our children about sex and sexuality, especially when it involves our choices surrounding sex and intimacy. However, it's our duty. It's our absolute duty to be the first educators to our children about this very important topic. And so I would encourage those who are dating as single parents to sit down and have these conversations, to break the unhealthy cycles of children trying to figure things out and having questions go unanswered, and instead be proactive and share directly, communicate openly with our children about what it means to be dating as a single parent, what it means to choose to wait to have physical intimacy, or if one decides to be physically intimate, what those may look like and how it may work within their family dynamics and within their household.
Talk to me. I mean, I know we're kind of stepping off a little bit, but and as I started out with the introduction to the show, The tables are turned a little bit more. The kids taking the reins, and the adults are more because the kids, they're being talked down to, they're being given direction to. Mommy is being divorced for a while now. She waits until the kids are gone. Now she's going to have her own world, or daddy for the instance. And she has her own place. She has her own everything, or he does. And then the kids come in at this point and really raise an havoc. They're the kids again saying, you know, hey, do you they would ask questions. Do you understand what you're doing? Who is this? Who is this? And what you're doing, you know, breaking up the family, causing problems. Talk to us a little bit about that, because this seems to be a big, big problem.
So we're looking at the child that's objecting to the parents' involvement in general, not even the sexual piece, but just a relationship, Dr. O?
Yes. I mean, the whole package.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
That can be very challenging. And I know Dr. Johnson touched on that last week where he talked about where the priority stands. And we've talked about this in a previous show as well, Dr. F, about whether or not we will choose as a single parent who's dating who our priority will be. Will our children be our priority, or will our dating partner be our priority? And it seems that most were in agreement with the statement that was made last week, that at a certain age, the priority may shift. So if a child is say, in school and in the home, up to a certain grade for high school maybe, the thought was that they are the priority. And so if they're not in agreement with the person you're dating, or if you're having a challenge with your partner, then the partner takes a back seat to the needs of the children. Mm-hmm. However, after the children become a certain age of maturity and understanding, then the parent can choose to have their needs become a priority.
But here you are, Doc, after, you know, a parent makes the sacrifice, you know, they've made a sacrifice, you know, I'm not going to bring anybody, because some of us, I mean, are strong enough to do that. And we make the sacrifice, I'm not going to be even seen with anybody because of some of the reasons that were said previously. I mean, make them feel uncomfortable, or having somebody else to direct them, et cetera, et cetera. But now that you've made that sacrifice, and you're saying, hey, it is my turn now, and the kids who you love dearly, and you hope that they would love you dearly too, that word love, and really support what you're doing. And then here is the sacrifice that you thought you made coming back to haunt you, that these kids are saying, heck no, you can't be marrying, you're 60 years old, you can't be marrying no 35 or 40 year old, or you can't be having a relationship with X and Y, or you know, all of the other things, or, you know, are you crazy, you know, asking you those kind of a question as an adult. What I mean, you would have think now the sexual part of this is going to be is going to be hard to even worse to deal with. What did you do?
I think that goes back to the type of community, the type of environment that you have in your home. If your home is one where your children feel safe and secure conversing with you about anything, then it may not be that they come in a way that is harsh or accusatory about the person you're dating. But maybe it will be that they come with questions and wonderments about what it means to now have my parent dating, or what it means to have this new person join us in what used to be just our family events. So
what I'm hearing, Doc, You know, when you have children, they control you, they direct you, they're selfish about you. I mean, they don't want you ever to be with anyone except probably, and I'm sure sometimes they're jealous of the other parent. I mean, how can we, these are big grown parents who have their own family as well, and yet still they're coming back to haunt you again.
Doctor, you're saying after the children have left your home, this is still the reality?
That's exactly what, you seem like you didn't hear what I'm saying. These are grown big.
Okay. Yeah, it must have been that I missed that part, because I'm still thinking these children are your home. I think it's a very different dynamic when your children are out of your home and they have their own lives, because it's a circumstance versus that which the children are in your home and you're still rearing them. I don't believe that parents need to allow their children to rule them. That's never the case. I think it's important that parents always maintain their role as parents. It's the decision of the parents what takes precedence in their life. And if it's a child or children that are grown and out of the home, I think those dynamics are very different, Dr. Ev, and those conversations may look different based on those circumstances.
I think there's a big problem. I think that I don't think I've been in that situation, but I have had thoughts about how I would react, and I think that I don't, you know, reserve my opinion too much about that. So sometimes you can send out these floaters ahead of time, so just in case that idea might be floating around in the air. You can all. It's like a preventative vaccine, where you don't even have to worry about that even coming up, just based on some of the things that come out of your mouth ahead of time.
Okay.
And but it's a complicated situation.
Here is a 75-year-old man. I mean, divorce, or unfortunately, one of the partners stepped over on the other side, and he says, "You know what? I'm 75 years old. I'm my own person, and I see this little 30-year-old woman or 25-year-old woman." And I don't care if she wants all of what I want, but I want what she has. And I'm going to go for it. And then the kids, of course, you got a nice little money. You got a nice little house. You're well set. And the kids, of course, they're looking darn, and these kids are, when dad goes, we're going to get this townhouse. That is going to get that. And we know his estate is that. So we can expect the grandchildren to get all of that. I mean, they're going to guard this with their life. And no other woman is going to come in here and really live comfortable, even though you're going to be thinking that you have the power and it's your house, unless you're going to cut them off totally and send them to the backwoods. And I'm sure they're going to come cantering back somehow. It is not as easy as that at all. These people are going to be haunting you.
Yeah, I think that if he has a good relationship with his children, it's going to be difficult for him to ignore their feelings. Right. Now, if he has no relationship with the children, it's a much different situation. But, with any parent, parents that have very good relationships with their children are not going to do things that most of the children object to. They don't have to.
Almost everything. Come on, 75-year-old man. The children are going to object to everything that you do because they want what you have and they don't want to share it with anyone. They're not thinking about that you want a little and a little hug.
Well, he doesn't have to get... He doesn't have to get married to do that.
They don't want anybody around, period.
And I think that's the point where if they're grown children, that the parent then sets the standard about how much is shared and how it's shared.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent, you're always the parent. So you set the stage and you choose what information is revealed and how much is appropriate or not, and when that information is shared and when it's not. I think the circumstances are absolutely different for a child that's in the home and young versus someone who's grown and out of the home.
But as grown children, it's going to be difficult for a parent to ignore. I mean, if that parent has a good relationship with those grown children, it's going to be very difficult to ignore some of the feelings of those children.
Are these feelings legitimate? Or are these feelings of trying to secure their legacy and they don't want anybody else to get a particular pie?
No. See, sometimes you see a parent, you got to have a good track record. Sometimes parents start, they don't just all of a sudden just start doing things that may, you know, be questionable. But it may gradually, you know, be a pattern. And then you try to say, wait a minute. You know, you build up a record. And if you build up a bad track record, then the children are going to have much more leeway with a parent.
Uh-huh.
that's absolutely true, Madhu. As was stated before, it's up to us, the parents, to set the stage. It's up to us to set the tone for the culture of our relationship, whether there be children that are in our homes or those who have grown and departed the home. And regardless of the culture that has been, we still have the opportunity to create a culture that may be one that's more healthy, that we can have dialogues if we haven't before. We can share information if before the atmosphere was closed. We choose. We can set the stage and be the example for our children.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But
Dr. Evans, if you would give me the opportunity, that sets the stage for what we'll be looking at for the month of August on our show.
Mm-hmm.
The theme of communication and what that means, what communication looks like, and how do we do it well? Is there a right or wrong way to communicate? And how those dynamics will influence the relationships in our lives, because a lot of what we've talked about here and even in this show and the show for the month of July when we looked at dating as a single parent is how do we share these things? What do those dynamics look like? And I look forward to having dialogue with all about communication in the month of August.
Mm-hmm. But I understand the communication bit because we're talking the nonverbal communication here because this is really big time more nonverbal sometimes than anything. What is the information that is being translated or what these elderly kids are translating from the communication that mom says she's at the point now that she's met this guy at church or she met the guy at the bar, the 25-year-old, and she wants to have the fling of her life. She wants to paint her hair blue and pink, and she wants to pull the skirts up a little bit. You know, are you communicating to the kids that, hey, you're going crazy. I mean, you're on whatever, whatever. And are you saying to them, hey, get over here and help me, or that kind of a thing? I see where this kind of a sometimes get, muddled. When do the kids step in and start parenting their parents? Because of their behavior that they're communicating through their actions.
Right. There are certain, you're absolutely correct, Dr. Rev, boundaries. There are healthy boundaries that are necessary in the sharing, how much you share and what you share when and with whom. And having a parent that communicates too much with the child is not a healthy atmosphere either, because we do not want our children to become parentified, where they're taking on more responsibilities than is necessary at their age. Mm-hmm. However, I think there is a balance that can be found where instead of not sharing anything with our children and having them try to figure things out in their own heads or sharing too much, there's a balance, and there's a way that we as adults can approach that to be beneficial for the children in our relationship therewith.
Mm-hmm. And do you think this is the same way you will treat the adult children? Or you just say, you know what, you tell them straight up, you know, this is my life now, and however ditch I'm going down in, you know, let me go in. And they're going to say, well, mother, I'm still going to be responsible. Maybe I have to pick up the pieces, and that is what we're trying to prevent here.
And as adults, I think that the dynamics are definitely different, and what you choose to communicate may be very, very different than how you do it with younger children. And you have different choices to make at that point. If the adult children are desirous of supporting you and you choose not to receive that support,
mm-hmm.
then those dynamics.
I mean, will an adult child understand the emotions and needs of their adult parent? Do they think they my mother is 50-year-old. She shouldn't be having sex and making those decisions in their minds for them. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, just like these kids still make up things in their mind.
Absolutely. You're so correct. I think it doesn't matter what age a child may be, there's still some wonderments about sex and sexuality when it comes to the parent. You're absolutely correct, Dr. Rev.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I have noticed over all of my years of going into people's houses is that I think that parents are really kind of overrated, because, you know, once somebody is called a parent,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have to take any exam. It's just assumed that they have a certain amount of skill, knowledge, and what I found is that a lot of parents are really lacking,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the children end up really reading, thinking, analyzing, and really making some intelligent decisions that a lot of the parents are not capable of making. And I think for good reasons, you know, children have access now, young people, to a lot of information at a higher speed. And if they take advantage of it, I think that children can really have a lot more skills than they would have had 50 years ago. And I'm just appalled at some of the lack of skills that I find in some parents that I've come in contact with, many of them, over the years. And I think a lot of parents are really not capable of importing a lot of the information that a lot of children need.
On the other
and if the
hand,
children don't get it themselves, they're in trouble.
On the converse side of that, though, I would agree parenting is overrated. If you think of a parent, you don't think as a child that this is a totally whole and sober and have it together human being. This is still a human being who, not because you have a child, means that you have this godly knowledge or you all of a sudden have all of the wisdom there is. And I think this is where kids really get it wrong. This is still a human being who are out there making mistakes. So don't look at your parents and say, hey, you know, how can you be a mother and be this? How can you be a dad and do this? This is, I think, what we need to take away from this and make I think it brings into focus where a lot of kids kind of resent their parents because they think their parents, even though they were 16 when they had them, they should know better than not to smoke or not to do this or not to do that. And that is so far away from it. I mean, parents are human beings. They're not perfect. Far from it. And I think children should remove that whatever stigma or whatever
ideology
they have about them and look at them as human beings growing and experiencing and learning.
Great point, Dr.
Well, what about if the parents sometimes tell the children, I don't know everything? That might help.
Okay. Not my help. As you talk about that, I think that would be a good note for us to kind of resume on sometime next month when we start our stuff. The communication, exactly the communication. Let them know, hey, I'm a human being learning just like you are. I had you when I was 15. I didn't even know what was happening to me. So I'm still in the learning process. Let us learn this together and unlearn some of the things that, you know, we probably adapted. So, Dr. Navisha, take it away, please.
Again, thank you so much for a wonderful time with Caribbean Radio Show. Madhu and Iyanue, your comments and your wonderful words of wisdom are always appreciated. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and joining us weekly. Other listeners, thanks for being here. Dr. Ev, as always, thank you for your effervescent personality. You're an amazing hostess. And we look forward to connecting with you again in 2 weeks as we open up with the conversation on communication, what those intricacies are, is there a right and or a wrong way to communicate, and we'll gain some more knowledge and wisdom at that time. Thank you so much.
My woman, she is a problem. My woman, she is a problem. My woman, she is a problem.